welcome to the Mac Gamecast episode 47. I'm John Carr, as always, and my co-host today is Mr. Casper. How you doing?
I'm doing good. Thank you very much.
Hooray. I just realized today, yesterday, listening to another podcast, I don't think I've ever said the word co-host about you guys, and I felt bad about that. Because, of course, whoever's on the show is also a co-host. I mean, the regulars on the show, not just random guest person. And I was like, I feel like I haven't been giving them their proper due. So sorry about that retroactively for the last 40 whatever episodes.
Yeah, I mean, it's fine as far as I'm concerned anyway. I mean, internally, we all know
that we made the show together. It's a minor detail, but I realized maybe even some listeners may have picked up on it if they listened to other podcasts or whatever. So I just wanted to set the record straight. Lily, Sam, Ted, all co-host. Okay, so Casper, what are we talking about today? I'll leave it to you up front.
Well, I mean, a few things have happened since we were last on air. I guess the biggest one is that the M3 MacBook Air has released, both been announced and released since our last episode, very briefly within each other, those things happened. It is just another M3 Mac. I mean, we've already had the M3 iMac and the 14-inch MacBook Pro. So in some sense, it's not that new. We've already seen what the M3 hardware can do. It's just in a new form factor. Of course, there are some limitations with the MacBook Air in terms of thermal constraints. We already saw in the iMac and the 14-inch Pro that if you really push it on both CPU and GPU workloads at the same time, even those machines with fans could get minor throttling on the M3. So the MacBook Air does have throttling, but that's to be expected in a fanless design. And assuming you're not doing anything hyper intensive, which the MacBook Air isn't intended for anyway, you shouldn't really be seeing the throttling. But obviously, if you're playing games for extended periods of time, you will see worse performance with the M3 in the Air than you will with the Pro or the iMac.
Makes sense.
Yep. Some interesting points on the MacBook Air relative to the M2 and M1 series of MacBook Airs. We now have a base configuration. That is to say, not the base configuration, just one of the configuration Apple keeps in stock that isn't built to order, with 16 gigabytes of RAM, where in the past, all of the base models came with 8 gigabytes of RAM. Now the top tier model, 16.
That's a big change in my opinion. It's just layering on that foundation we've been talking about for years since Cripes the first M1 in November 2020 or something. Like the baseline hardware, the absolute entry level or whatever they buy, just keeps improving. Mm-hmm. And that's just always better for gaming moving forward.
And we're seeing more and more games that require 16 gigabytes of RAM to not just, you know, run like dog turd.
Yeah, I was about to say, to just die. Please don't run me.
Like, Baldur's Gate 3, you can run the first two acts fine-ish on an M2 or M1 or whatever, or M3 with 8 gigabytes of RAM. But when you get into Act 3, performance will just go down the drain immediately. Because there's so much more that needs to be loaded in memory at the same time, and it needs to swap in and out all the time, and your frame rate goes from, you know, the 40s or whatever you're having, depending on the generation of chip, down to like 10 or something, right?
Yeah, exactly.
I've not played into Baldur's Gate on and a base M chip or anything. I'm just seeing the numbers online, right?
Of course.
But with a 16 gigabyte RAM machine, you're going to maintain the same frame rate almost all the way through. You know, it'll dip a little bit in Act 3 because there is still more happening on screen, but it won't nosedive like it does on an 8 gigabyte config. Yeah.
It's funny. I was just thinking, because we talked a lot about, I guess we didn't really talk about any AI stuff last episode, but it was a lot of like VR and future of this and that. Mm-hmm. But I would really enjoy it if somehow Siri was like this pseudo AI or something on your computer. And if we went to play a game, like click on it, it'll pop up what happened. We'd be like, whoa, are you sure you want to try to play this game with your 8 gigabytes of RAM? Or, you know, or I don't know if it'd like make a joke or warn you or do something, but it would be like, or it somehow reference it like what you just said, you know, users have reported later in this game on this configuration, you'll probably get 10 FPS. I don't know. It'd be funny. I'm just thinking out loud.
I mean, honestly, we've had many discussions about the App Store as a platform for buying games and stuff. But I think something that Apple in general does really well on the iOS App Store is mark very clearly if you can run a thing on the hardware you have. If you try and buy Resident Evil, whatever, Village or 4, on anything except the iPhone 15 Pro or one of the M series iPads, it'll just say, no, you don't have good enough hardware to run this. I'm not even allowing you to purchase it. Right. If you do the same on a low tier Mac, it's just going to let you buy it and then you get into it and you're running it at 1 FPS. I think, right. I don't necessarily think that they should outright be stopping you on the Mac, especially because you have so much more flexibility with, you know, what settings you run it at and stuff like that.
Right.
But I do think it would be great if the Mac App Store had more of a warning system in place for that sort of thing. Especially as, you know, the Mac chips are more console-ized in some sense than PC right. hardware, where there's a smaller amount of configurations to consider and all that.
True.
But yeah.
And some people, for whatever reason, also don't mind running at like 10 or 15 FPS.
Sure. And it depends on the game, right? If you're running Civilization, it might not matter that much, but a Twitch shooter, yeah. it would. So,
like, I guess I can't really recall my preferences as a kid, but last summer my nephew was here and he's 14, 15 now. He has his own laptop, but it's not a very good one, though I think he's just got a better one now. And just watching him play stuff, it's just like stutter, 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 yeah. catch, frame, drop, and he doesn't even blink. He's just playing. It's like, whatever. He's more interested in playing the game. He doesn't really care about the frame rate. I think I was the same way because I do recall playing like Doom 3 from Aspyr, well, the Mac port by Aspyr back then, on like some sort of garbage low-end G4 laptop. And yeah, I remember running it at like 10 or 15 frames a second or something terrible, absolute lowest res, lowest settings. And then I got a later computer and I was like, oh my God, I can play this game smoothly. So maybe when you're a teenager or whatever, at least speaking for myself and my nephew, you just don't care. I don't know. Less discerning, you're more about the game than the performance.
I mean, I've had experiences myself where when my last iMac died, I had to switch over to using my laptop exclusively for a while before I could get a new desktop. And it had, you know, just an integrated Intel chip at the time. It was before my M3 or M1 Max laptop and all that. And, you know, the moment you start playing the game you had previously played on your high-end iMac and you're just like, oh, this feels horrible. But if the game is good enough, at some point you forget and you just keep playing and you just enjoy the game for what it is. Yeah. Obviously, there's still some limit. You know, you're not going to get that if it's literally the point, you know, 1 second per frame or something,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
But, yeah, you can get by with a lot if the game is good.
That's true. Following up the M3 thing you were just talking about, also the there's now dual monitor support for M3 chips. Is that right?
Yeah, sort of. So the display engines in the M3 are technically not any more powerful than they were in the M1 or M2. However, the internal display can now be taken out of the equation. So just like with the M1 and the M2, where you could on a Mac Mini hook up two external displays because there wasn't an internal one, now the wiring is such that you can clamshell your MacBook, close the lid, and then you can run two external displays.
Right.
That's just achieved by wiring the display engine that used to power the internal display through the same crossbar that then goes out to the USB-C ports.
I see. Right.
Yeah. And this initially is just the MacBook Air, but through a firmware update that's coming at some later point, Apple has confirmed that this functionality will also be extended to the M3 MacBook Pro in the 14-inch. So anyone who has that will also be able to run two external displays.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Nice.
There's some discussion going on about whether this is technically possible to also do on the M2, because the M2 already wired the internal display engine through a crossbar that could then be fed to the USB-C ports, which is why if you followed the Mac Mini thing, in the M1 Mac Mini, if you wanted two displays, you had to use one of the USB-C and one of them through the HDMI port.
And on
the M2, you could do two through the USB-C ports. That's because it was wired through the crossbar. There's some discussion about whether or not the laptops still had like a hardwired embedded display port, or if it's still possible there. But regardless, it seems that Apple is not backporting the firmware changes to the M2. So just M3 for now, at least.
Yeah, kind of standard, you know, feature creep. The newer hardware gets better stuff.
Yeah.
So,
but I mean, they are backporting it to the MacBook Pro.
Yes.
Where the, is, it was initially just the MacBook Air. But on, at the same time, it would also be really weird if the M3 MacBook Air was more feature-rich than the M3 MacBook Pro.
I was about to say that. Yeah. It's like, hey, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Yeah. That would be silly.
But like on that point with multiple displays, I've used multiple displays at work for productivity, but I've never played games with multiple displays. Does it even behave well? Like, is
yeah. I mean, I really question that on the Mac. The only time I've done it was at a PAX convention long ago, and if I'm not mistaken, the game was Titanfall. I don't even think it was Titanfall 2. I think it was Titanfall. This was like 2013 or something.
Right.
I've been to a PAX since then, but I didn't play as many games. I was playing more board games. Anyway, that's an aside. And it was a triple monitor setup. So one in front, like normal, and then two at an angle. It was kind of cool, but I found it annoying because of the monitor bezels, especially the two joined. It created like this 1-inch sort of gap where it wasn't screened. So in your peripheral vision, it looked neat. But when you actually like focused on it, it personally annoyed me. Obviously, now they have ultra-wide, curved, you know, 30, 40, 50-inch displays and whatever. But back then, I don't think they did. At least they didn't at this demo. So it was interesting. And I guess it technically gave you a wider field of view. But since you had to turn your head and look to actually, because it's your peripheral vision, you had to turn left to turn right to look. In a sense, it was immersive, but it felt gimmicky to me. Right. I mean, now I do use a 34-inch ultra-wide monitor. But to me, it fits exactly like within my vision. I don't actually have to turn to focus. I can catch it. Okay, I have good vision, but I don't know if that's like relevant per se. I don't know. I wouldn't personally use it. I feel like it's it's productivity or it's streamers who need that separate window for a chat or to look up things off their stream. Like something that might be not safe for work. They pull it up in like the hidden monitor or whatever you call it. Or I guess there are some people who like to game and in a separate monitor have Discord, or maybe if it's a particularly tough game, they pull up guides. I've heard people say that, like, I keep my Discord and like a wiki open or whatever it is.
I do sort of that with Mission Control and like just having different spaces, virtual desktop sometimes.
Yeah.
But like, I'm wondering if macOS even handles most games for multiple displays, like having the game spread across multiple screens, because I know that on the Windows side there was like you required AMD's iFinity or the equivalent on the NVIDIA side or something to have it work properly or something.
macOS already does really weird things with like windowed and full screen mode in games anyway. Like glitchy, janky, struggles, like especially if you're trying to mirror stuff, do multiple displays stream, because there was some time I was used to do a bunch of streaming for Heroes of the Storm and whatever, mostly for casting and coaching rather than playing, but there was always like weirdness going on and I had to do workarounds and with audio loops. It was this whole thing. Maybe it's better now, but especially considering the average Mac hardware, I don't even know if you could power like a multi-game display thing, even if it was technically possible.
Maybe if you had a higher end machine. If all the monitors were just 1080p or something, it should be trivial enough. But
personally, I wouldn't. I like, especially if I'm playing a single player game, like I want to focus on the game. I don't want extra displays. I don't want to be looking around, because then when I go look at the monitor, I'm like looking at other shit in my room or whatever. You know, it's just like, I don't know. I want to be like immersed in the game. I get that there are people who play more casually. It's kind of, or I've also heard people, they throw up YouTube or Twitch on a monitor while they're also playing a game, and it's Discord, so they're like sort of simultaneously gaming / socializing / social meeting, whatever. I don't like to play that way. I guess if you do, then a second monitor is great, even if you're not using the game. And I guess, I mean, most games that would want an extra monitor is usually some type of first person game, a flight simulator.
I could definitely see it for simulator type things.
I've seen setups for really mostly for simulators, whether it's the Microsoft Flight Simulator, Elite Dangerous, which did drop Mac support but used to have it. And people have 1, 2, 3, 4 monitors, and each one has like all the controls, or it's a window out into space or whatever the heck, or one's like a map or radar. So I can see, I feel like that's where it really shines.
Yeah.
Because you have so much information you actually need to display, like that's valuable or vital to whatever you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
But in like your average shooter or RPG or whatever, your puzzle game, your RTS, like I don't see the benefit personally.
No. No. But you said you're using an ultra wide. Have you used that with Mac games, or is that just?
It does work. Yeah. Usually. I was just playing a silly game, Gunscore and Cannellini too. My buddy bought it for me to play with, play together. A silly co-op game, totally cliche, like Italian mobster game where you run around shooting zombies and other mobsters.
Okay.
Fun little game, worth a couple hours of play. But I was curious because I had it installed on the Windows side, but then I went to my Mac side, installed it, and much to my surprise, because it's a several year old game, it just boop worked, full screen, ultra wide, and everything.
Nice.
But not every, even on the Windows side, not everything has ultra wide support. So, you know, on the Mac side, I doubt everything does either. I'm gaming less and less these days, video game wise, like, and I'm still working on my backlogs, Baldur's Gate 3, Cyberpunk, probably going to play Cyberpunk more tonight. I haven't been buying anything new. Although, speaking of buying new stuff, quick segue into the Steam sale and a couple things going on. There's not like a lot of new games right now, although there is one demo or one game coming out in a few days I'm pretty interested in, called Raw Metal. It's on Steam. I think it's out in 2 days. Yeah, but it's got a demo. You can go check it out. I like the art style. You're basically some sort of like scavenger dude infiltrating. I don't know. It's some distant planet. I just call it Mars, even though it's not Mars. But it's like a stealth action game. I think they're calling it a roguelite, if I'm not mistaken. But anyway, you stealth around, you beat up dudes, and you get loot and gear. And it's just a fun little game. I think it's cool. And it has a Mac demo, which is nice. Another game wanted to shout out because it's a board game that got digitized is Dune Imperium. Dune's pretty hot right now as a property, of course, but I've owned the board game. It's one of my favorite ones. Sadly, a couple people in my group don't really prefer it, which kills me, so I sold it. But I would still have it. It's ranked, I think, number 6 all time on BGG, which is kind of like the Steam of board games. So it's like one of the best ranked games in the board game world in terms of designer board games. Anyway, I think it's phenomenal, but not everyone agrees, of course, because that's everyone's preference. But anyway, just got a digital version, which is very well rated. Maybe this is the version I play instead, because my IRL friends would rather play a different game. But I encourage anyone who likes Dune or maybe some like strategy with some resource and card management to check it out. I think it's really fun,
nice.
Personally. And you should be able, you can play online. It's a competitive game, so you can play against an AI or you can play against other players. I think up to four or five. So anyway, cool game. If you're looking for something already like out and spent out a bit, I would recommend Total War Warhammer 3 or any of the Total Wars. They're all amazing on Mac. Thanks to Feral. Thank you, Feral. If you like that kind of stuff, or it's more Warhammer, but Rogue Trader is 40K. It's been out a bit. It's had a Mac version all along. It was released late last year, but now they've released a major patch recently which fixed tons of bugs and added new features and blah, blah, blah. Everyone says basically to wait a bit on Owlcat games. I think you have said that yourself, Casper, in the past.
Yeah, they tend to release not quite like an early access type deal,
right,
or something,
right,
that the game
right.
is ready, but they do a lot in patches, generally speaking.
So the first major patch just came out like 1 or 2 weeks ago, like huge. Everyone's like, hooray. They still say it could use more, but it's like, if you want to jump on, this would be a good point to jump on. People are saying basically after this patch. So I nearly bought it. It was $40 on sale. I was like, it's in my cart. And my buddy Mike's another gamer guy. He was on it. He's like, John, should we get Road Trader? I'm like, we should, but we also have backlogs, so we shouldn't.
I mean, anyway, frankly, if you still have enough things to play, you might as well just wait, because it's going to get another big sale before you're ready to buy it if you're still like waiting on some big
Correct.
Games.
Correct. That was my logic. And it would have more patches by then, too.
Exactly. And then, like, even if it might even get like DLCs down the road where you can get the full bundle for the same price you could get the game
right.
now.
Yep.
And again, with Owlcat games, at least in the past with their Pathfinder games, the DLCs tend to like integrate into the experience, and the games are super long. Still worth replaying if you've gone through them once, but you know, if you take 400 hours to get through a playthrough, a replay is also a big commitment. And with DLCs that integrate into it throughout the game, it's nice to have it all to begin with.
Yeah, that was actually one of the reasons I didn't grab it right now, even though I was, because I'm playing Warhammer Tabletop now. This aforementioned Mike fellow sucked me into it, but it's been a good time. So I'm like, more Warhammer stuff, cool. But then I looked at the DLC, and the first one is like, integrates into the main game. I'm like, I'm waiting. I'm going to wait for this one at least. Maybe not the second, because there's another one, but at least the first. It's like, new stuff, new quests, new weapons, new companion, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, okay, I'll just wait.
But also speaking of sales happening, you know, you mentioned the big Steam sale. For basically the first time ever, there's a big sale on the Mac App Store for games.
What? Really?
A lot of them are Apple Silicon only, but a few of them also work on Intel Macs. But they're really highlighting a big sale on Mac games right now on the App Store. I think it's the first time ever. Some of them are even cheaper than the Steam version, which is unheard of.
Basically, with rare exception. I recall in the past, a couple Feral or Aspyr games would occasionally be cheaper.
Sure, but it's definitely not a regular thing.
No, it isn't.
But yeah, it's like Lies of P, a lot of the big one, like, what was the other one called? The one that, you know, they highlighted a lot that came out recently.
Fort Solace or Resident Evil or?
They're both on there as well.
Death Stranding.
Death Stranding is one, I think. I'm pretty sure that's on the list. Elex 2, Return to Monkey Island, SnowRunner. There's a bunch of stuff that's all on a big sale.
I think Elex... Did Elex 2 come out since we last...
It was definitely out. We've mentioned it.
Yeah. I'm thinking of a different game. I forget what it's called.
Stray has an official Mac version with the Apple Silicon support. We mentioned that where I played it on the Windows side through Bootcamp at some point. And special crossover support and stuff. But it's native on Apple Silicon now.
Nice.
Also on the sale thing.
Yeah, good time to pick up some games for yourself or near future, unless you already have a big backlog, in which case don't buy more games.
Play with you. Enough to get through.
Yeah, exactly. No, but it's nice. It's nice. You know, Mac Gaming's chugging along. We always want more, but, you know, just cool new stuff on Steam. There's good stuff on the App Store. Sidestepping the App Store as a, like, gaming buying platform and all that jazz has a few pros, mostly cons, but hey, you gotta work with what you got. We got the App Store, we got Steam. Well, we do have Epic Games too, but again, there's the weird thing where the binaries on one or the other will only have a Windows version and not a Mac version and blah, blah, blah. But
yeah,
like there's a lot of free games on Epic. I think you were highlighting that, but they had a free game that wasn't, that technically had a Mac version, but not on Epic or something.
Yeah, I think it's still on right now. Mankind Divided, Deus Ex.
Get that for free,
but not the Mac port.
Such a good game.
Yeah. You pick it up if you've got Bootcamp access, because then you can just play it through that. But yeah, unfortunately, the free one doesn't include the Mac version.
No. I mean, I think you kind of have to be a fan of the series to really enjoy it. Like, I probably wouldn't start there. But the problem is Human Revolution, I believe, has now dropped Mac support, or the license expired from Feral or whatever.
I'm pretty sure if you have it, you can still play it.
Yeah. But like Feral never did the director's cut thing. That was PC only, which is annoying.
Yeah, okay.
That being said, I think the core game is fine, other than the boss fights are slightly problematic, which is where the director's cut basically fixes that.
Mm-hmm.
And it just rolls in the DLC into the narrative, which also makes more sense. But
yeah.
Anyway, Mankind Divided, I still think is brilliant. Unfortunately, there was recent news that, basically there was a sequel being worked on of some type, not necessarily the character, the protagonist. What was it? Alex. Can't think of his name all of a sudden. No, Alex, I think, was number two. Or not number two.
I don't think it was Alex, no.
I know his voice. I should know
He's
the gravelly voice dude.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my god!
I don't know. I feel like it was like a not a conventional name.
Adam Jensen. There we go.
Jensen. Yeah, right. It's
Jensen.
NVIDIA CEO.
Yeah. Yeah, but always been one of my favorite series of all time, including the originals. Even the weird Invisible War, that guy's name was Alex something or the other. That's what I was thinking of.
Sure.
There was some sort of sequel being made or another game, not necessarily with Adam Jensen, because the voice actor said he was never like called or hired. Mm. But the news came out recently, it got canned. I don't know if it was part of the whole Embracer Group domino effect. There was something somewhere. Someone was getting sold or shut down or laid off, and it was announced. An unannounced Deus Ex project that had been in the works for a while was canned. I was like, no!
Yeah, okay.
Feels bad.
Yeah. In sort of other news, happening probably within this month, near the end of the month, we should be seeing new iPads, especially like iPad Air and iPad Pro are slated for new releases.
Right.
Presumably the Air will get the M2 and the Pro will get the M3, and that's how they're going to differentiate them going forward. Because we had this like weird setup where the iPad Air and the iPad Pro had both the M1 chip. It seems like they're going to differentiate them going forward, with one being a generation behind.
You would think.
Yeah. But it sort of made me wonder a bit, because like we've seen a lot of handheld gaming devices happening lately. Like, there's this thing called the Something Neo that's been reviewed on Gamers Nexus a few times. There's the Steam Deck. There's now a Lenovo Legion Go. PlayStation has made Sony has made a PlayStation Portal, which is a handheld device that streams games from your PlayStation. So it's not completely independent. You do need a PlayStation, but you can take it anywhere and stream from your PlayStation at home.
You can take it out of the home?
Yeah, you can leave the home with your PlayStation Portal after you've set it up the first time and stream from your home to your...
Interesting.
Yeah. But like it seems like the handheld market is really booming on the gaming side. Windows handheld, but also dedicated consoles like the Nintendo Switch or Steam Deck and all that. And I was like thinking a bit about this like difference there seems to be between handheld gaming and mobile gaming. And we've talked a lot on the show about how we don't like mobile gaming, we don't want to play on our phone, we don't want to play on an iPad and all this. But yet it seems like there's a really big market for handheld gaming that is, you know, more proper games, but in a handheld format. So I was thinking, like, where do we even, like, draw that line now that games like Resident Evil are playable on phones? Is it just because, you know, these things that are made as consoles first and foremost, foremost shipping with controllers built in and all that? Or is there something to it that's, like, I can't put my finger on it.
Yeah. Well, it is interesting. It also came out recently, the most played game on Steam Deck was Baldur's Gate 3.
Right.
Which Sam and I have said is basically, like, the greatest game ever made, in our opinion, or possibly, or whatever. I still have games that I prefer to play more, but, like, as an overall package, arguably, it's certainly one of the best games ever made. And certain arguments could be made that it is, in our current standing of March 17th, 2024, maybe the best game ever made. Maybe. Depends on your point of view. But anyway, most played on Steam Deck, so tons of people are playing this AAA RPG. I am kind of curious, because I didn't drill down into the stats, like, are people playing cooperatively on Steam Deck, or are they just playing solo? I'm going to be kind of curious about that. Because I imagine you couldn't play quite as speedily on a Steam Deck versus, like, a regular, like, a full computer setup. I would imagine it's a little slower, and maybe your friends are, like, waiting for you to figure out your turn or whatever, I don't know. But
just like the real D&D experience.
Oh my god, you're right. But that being said, people also kind of get like wizard hands on these mobile things, and it's like, you know, and they play like crazy fast. So, yeah, interesting. I agree. The lines are getting more and more blurred. I don't think they're certainly, at least from my point of view, they're not totally blurred yet, but they're approaching it. It's like it's within sight for sure when it's getting like harder to differentiate. Maybe give it a couple years and like console and mobile devices will basically be relatively identical. I suspect PCs or larger computing devices will always, for the foreseeable future, they'll have the upper hand because you have a giant machine and you stuff big ass graphics cards in them and whatever. Yeah. So there'll probably be still that line. I don't see moving anytime soon unless like everything just goes to the cloud or something. Mm-hmm. But yeah, as far as like the mobile and console thing or sort of that quote unquote real gaming versus handheld gaming, that's getting harder to argue for sure. Yeah. Definitely is.
And I mean, what I've said on the podcast many a time still stands. Like, I if I want to sit down and play a game, I want the big immersive experience wherever possible. You know, if I'm at home, I don't want to play on my phone. I'll go play on my iMac or, you know, plug or have something on the big TV in the living room or something, right? Yeah. But I just guess there is this market for gaming on the go. Like, you know, you're going on a vacation just to a vacation home or something. You're not like going out of country to experience a whole bunch. You're just going away to relax a bit and you're bringing this little handheld console or something. Yeah. And like, I guess that there is a market that something like an iPhone could fulfill, especially if it has this ability to plug into a TV or a monitor or something when you're away and right. attach a controller.
Yeah. Right. Absolutely. I 100% agree with all of that. As far as like my use case goes, that's kind of where it is. Mm-hmm. Like I used to have a couple cheap iPhone games for like waiting in the doctor's office or wherever the heck, the airport or something. And now I, you know, the other use case is probably maybe it's just people who commute a lot, whether it's for work mm-hmm. or travel or just whatever it is. Maybe it's school kids on the bus or what the heck. And they got 15, 30 minutes, 60 minutes, 2 hours, whatever it is, maybe in every single day. Some people commute 2 to 3 hours a day or whatever, maybe more, but like an average for people who commute, I think is around there. And if you're not the one driving or whatever, I mean, of course, people do audiobooks, they chat, they write, they read, but a lot of people game. And I think this is where a lot of it comes in. They're waiting for something, either in transit, on a subway, on a bus, on a car, on a train, plane, whatever. And they're just gaming away. I suspect, I don't have like data to back this up, but just like observing the world and knowing people's habits and whatever, I suspect that's where a lot of it is.
Yeah, that definitely would make sense. But that at that point, I also just question, you know, if the big handheld games are the ones you want, or you want a mobile game to kill the time. But I guess that also depends on, you know, the time frame. Are you sitting there for 15 minutes, or are you sitting there for 30, 40, an hour?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's interesting. A different buddy of mine, David, who you don't know him. I mentioned him before in the podcast, I think. But anyway, he has a Steam Deck first gen. Mm. He got the like upgraded one with the better storage and maybe it has a better screen. But he uses it all the time, even in he even uses it at home. He just lays in bed and plays on his Steam Deck, like holding it above him or whatever. You know, he's a big, strong guy. His arms don't get tired. to him, that's like an awesome time. To me, it's like, WTF, why would I want to lay in bed and play a game? Like, I would just get up and his computer's in his room too. Mm. But he just loves the experience of it because he gets to chill in his pajamas and in his bed, his blanket, whatever, and just play. Mm. He's in his car all the time. He drives around. He's got 15, 20 minutes to go. Sometimes he'll even take it to a cafe. And that's the experience. He goes out, gets a coffee or pastry or whatever, and whips out his Steam Deck and just plays. And to him, that's like awesome. He'll go out of his way to do that. To me, I'm like, you're a crazy person. To me, that's a waste of time. Not the coffee or the pastry or whatever, but like going to a cafe with the express purpose to play your handheld device, to me seems like insanity. But to him, it's like, this is awesome. So I guess it's just, what do you call it? Different strokes for different folks, as the English saying goes. Definitely. And he occasionally tells me, oh, I went, there's a guy there with a Switch or a Steam Deck as well. And we were like, And I'm like, no, you're both crazy.
Okay. I mean, maybe it's bigger than we realized.
But that's what I'm trying to get at. Like, you know, I don't really see it myself. Not that I'm like always out and about, but occasionally. To me, it's still uncommon, except for like airports or bus terminals or whatever. Mm-hmm. Is where I tend to see it, but you know, especially I think maybe in bigger cities, because I live in a small state, Vermont. Maybe it's just super common. People got Switches and Steam Decks and Portal, whatever it was, PlayStation Portals, like they're just everywhere. I don't know.
Yeah,
I know at PAX they have a like handheld gaming room. And it was reasonably full. But that being said, there was like a friggin' lot of people there, like 20,000, 50,000 people. Yeah, so, of course, there's going to be, but same thing, people show up to the gaming convention with their handheld. To me, that's just like, huh? Mm-hmm. But you know, people do what they want to do. Yeah. So I do think the markets, I begrudgingly admit, I think the market's way bigger than we maybe want to acknowledge or would prefer to. But yeah, that's just, I guess it just comes down to gaming preference. If I'm gaming, I really want to have a high quality, good screen, good graphics, easy controls experience. And of course, hopefully the game itself is also good.
Yeah, but I think there's something to be said for that, like Nintendo Switch-like experience, where the intention of the console is that you can switch the playing mode. You can plug it in when you have the TV available, and you can take it on the go when you go. When you
Right. That's true.
Yeah, and I think true. That, you know, if we are going this down this road of handheld gaming being super popular, I do think that's like a clever approach to take on it, but we'll see where it goes.
It is clever, and I wonder if something like would Apple ever officially, I know there's tons of accessories for iPhones and gaming adjacent stuff, but like would Apple ever provide like gaming specific accessories or plug and play stuff? And
I don't think we'll see a first party gear in the foreseeable future, but they have highlighted third party gaming controllers, both like just the PlayStation 5 controller or something, but also the ones that you mount to your iPhone, so it's like a Switch with the Joy-Con like controllers on either side.
Right, yeah.
They've shown pictures of them at WWDC and stuff, but yeah, I don't think a first party one is in the cards for any time soon.
Right. Yeah, just curious. Yeah. But yeah, it is interesting. I don't see myself ever hopping on that train, but I do see the appeal for other people who have different preferences. Or I do know, especially something like a Switch or a console type game, especially if it's a party game, like a racing game or a fighting game, you got a group of friends over and you get whatever, 4, 6, 8 people. You can all sit down on the floor on the couch. You can pass around controllers. Well, I won. Now you play, wherever you race off. Mm-hmm. Like there's, you know, you hot seat it, old school style.
Yeah.
But you can do that. Like you're not going to boot up Cyberpunk or Baldur's Gate or whatever the heck with a room full of people, unless you're trying to just show it off for a few minutes or something.
So,
you know, it has its place. It's just, once again, it's just never the kind of gaming I would be let's do that as a first choice. To me, it'd just be like, well, okay, sure, we're here or whatever. Play some Mario Kart.
But I also think a lot of people who have any of these handheld gaming devices, be it a, you know, Lenovo Legion, Steam Deck, Nintendo Switch, whatever, I do think a lot of them have a different gaming device as well, be it a PlayStation, PC, whatever, a Mac. I think maybe fewer with the Switch, where it's more intended to also be a primary console, but definitely the other ones I do think are aimed as being secondary consoles. And I mean, something like the PlayStation Portal is entirely meant to be secondary because it requires having a PlayStation in the first place. So yeah, I think they really focus on that. You know, you already have your main setup. This is the go device. But yeah.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. I think the majority, especially if they're an adult with their own income and everything, like almost guaranteed they have another gaming device of some type. Mm-hmm. If it's just a teenager who either bought it with, you know, some money they earned or is given to them, maybe it's their only gaming device. Mm-hmm. You know, that's probably a little more probable. But yeah, any like, let's just say, average working class adult probably has another gaming device, or maybe their partner or family member or whoever has a game, like they have access to it if it's not theirs directly. And of course, some people go like, yeah, I got like 3 or 4 or 5, you know, you know, where I got them all, you know.
Yeah.
Instead of what's the Pokemon thing? Gotta catch them all.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Like gotta collect them all.
I mean, genuinely during the PS3 era of consoles, I was that person. My brother and I, we had together, we shared them, but we had the PS3, we had the Xbox 360, we had the Wii, you know, we had powerful gaming PCs that could deal with anything.
Right.
We were all over the place. And sort of also the beginning of the Xbox One, I think, was the following one. We also had PS4 and all that jazz. But we sold the Xbox. Anyway, that's a big rant on something completely irrelevant at this point. But yeah.
Yeah. But no, it's there. Hmm. Yeah, I tried to do a quick Google search. Is there like percentage of mobile gamers who own another device or something? But it was just pulling up general mobile gaming stats.
Right.
That.
Yeah.
So that was just like an in-the-moment search. But I think that's what we said, I think, is pretty reasonable to apply, generally speaking. I think a lot of it also, I do need to probably wrap this up in like 5 minutes, but I think a lot of it's coming out of Asia. Like the mega number.
That would make sense.
Because mobile game, everyone, every whatever equivalent of Tom, Dick, and Harry, as they say here, mm-hmm. everyone and their grandmother has a mobile device in Asia. Everyone kind of does in America or North America anyway, but it's so prevalent there. Like, mm-hmm. everybody has one. Like, every beggar on the street, like, everyone has a mobile device in Asia, because I've been there several times to different countries.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard about this. It's
just sort of astounding. And less people own, that's why also gaming cafes are very popular in Asia. Less people own, like, a PC. For what, I don't know if that's economical or space reasons. I'm a little unsure why that is. I haven't looked into that.
My understanding is that at least part of it is a space concern, that a lot of people, even if they have a decent amount of disposable income, don't necessarily have a lot of living space, just because people are in the big cities, at least packed pretty tight. And bigger places to live cost substantial amounts of money, even for people who have a lot of disposable income for items may not have enough for a bigger place to live.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So I think that's, I'm not trying to say that there are no stats out of Europe or North America or whatever, but I do believe there's a pretty sizable contribution coming out of, you know, China and Japan and Korea and so on and so forth.
India, my understanding is also that, you know, the VR market is bigger there for similar reasons. It's, you know, you can pack a big screen in a VR headset, but you don't need to fill an entire wall with it.
I would like to, for the next episode or in between the next, now and the next episode, I would like to do some research and see, dig up some more of those stats, like,
yeah, that could be interesting
or whatever, and just not have the whole episode on it or anything, but as a follow-up to this mm-hmm. discussion we're having right now, it'd be fun to present a few things rather than just like, well, I think it's this or that.
Definitely.
Yeah, that would be fun. No, but that's about it for today. We've got some new hardware stuff. Nice to see more Mac updates, more iPad updates. You know, there's always little indie games popping up on Steam. That one I mentioned, Raw Metal. And of course, there's some nice sales on Steam. Like Lies of P is also on sale right now on mm-hmm. Steam for Mac and stuff like that.
And the Mac App Store.
And the Mac App Store, yep. Probably Resident Evil and stuff, but that's a jam. Horror games are not my jam, but mm-hmm. I basically always play the demos, but I never buy the whole thing.
Yeah.
It's typically how far I go. But yeah, good stuff, and we'll be back soon enough, a couple weeks or sometime next month, with more Mac gaming goodness. So thank you for listening, everyone. Thank you, Casper, for being here, and we'll catch you next time.
Bye-bye.
Bye.